The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 12. We'll be focusing on verse 2. We'll start the reading at verse 1. Romans chapter 12. Start the reading at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we approach you, not to see ourselves through our own lenses, but God, help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to hear your word specifically as it applies to us, God, and give us the wisdom and the grace to respond to you as we ought, that in this world we will be able to prove that which is beautiful, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There have been a number of times in my life when I have been called out. I have been recognized for who I am or for where I'm from or for what I stand for. There was a time someone came into the congregation and after a service they looked at me and they said, "You're from Ohio, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes. How did you know that?" And he told me that it was the way that I pronounce worship, or maybe the way I pronounce worship. I'm not sure which one it is. And there are different things. Even Peter, when he was there and he was being recognized, they looked at him and they said, "The way that you speak, or your accent, it gives you away. We know who you are, or we know where you are from by the way that you are presenting yourself." Different times and different places in your life, you will be recognized by what you do. I told the story before of going to visit a man in the hospital, going with his pastor, and the man looked at me and said, "If you're not a hammock, I'll kiss your foot." My mother's maiden name is Hammock, and he could tell just by the way that I walked into the room and the position of my cheekbones and my widow's peak that I was Amos Hammock's grandson. He knew it right off. Well, here the Scripture looks at us, and it knows something. The Scripture looks at you, and it knows something. God knows something right off by our presentation. By who we are, the Scripture looks at you and says, "There you are, son of Adam. There you are, daughter of Eve." The mankind and the man and the woman that brought the fall and has brought death and it has flowed over us like a wave, we continue to be recognizable as those people. So he speaks to us and says to us and to you, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be this thing that you really are. Don't be this thing that you have been. Don't be conformed. Don't be like this world that is in death. But be transformed. Showing us where we are, that we need to be transformed. We need to be changed. That we have been in this death, and now in Christ Jesus, we need to be made like Him into life. So the call for you this morning is to see the darkness that you have resided in and move forward into true life. Our first step, number one, is commit yourself to being transformed. This idea of commitment, it is a difficult thing. And I'm bringing you here and I'm gathering you here and maybe you've been brought into different settings. People have tried to sell us things at different times and they say, "Come, for this free meal. Come for this enjoyable time. Even come for an entire weekend. No obligation. And then they set us down and they make their pitch and they try to sell us something. Get us to buy into something. Here, you've been brought, haven't you? You've been called together. Here you are. Now something, you're being called to something. You're being called to do something. You're being called to commit to something. And it's a scary thing. Yesterday, the day was just so beautiful. We went hiking and we climbed up the cliffs. And we got to this place where you had to come and you had to reach up and put your hands on a ledge as you stood on a ledge. And you had to hop up and pull yourself up. And from there, you had to be willing to take your feet away from the ledge, bring it up around. And as one child tried to do that, they said, "I can't." And I said, "Yes, you can. You're just afraid to commit at this point." What will really be required of you by this word? What will really be required of you if you say, "Yes, Lord, transform my mind"? Is there a scarier place to be than altering and having your full identity changed? Giving up those things that you have been clinging to and refusing to let go. But here we are told that there is a way that you have been, and you're being told now, be this way no more. Be this way no longer. And do not be conformed to this world of death. Now the tragic thing is and the scary thing is, you have already fashioned yourself this way. You have been fashioned this way. You have been fashioning yourself this way. We have looked at the world. We have gone along with the world's current. We have looked like them. We have acted like them. We have talked like them. And some of us have done it for a long time. Our practices, our daily practices, our habits, even our daily habits, our thoughts, even our daily thoughts, have been in accordance with Adam and the fall more than with Christ and the resurrection. So we deal with and we have our corrupt principles. We have our corrupt customs. We have our courses, and we follow the courses of worldly and wicked men. And a part of the problem is, and a part of the big scare is, it's not that we've just gotten a little bit off course. We think that way. We think, oh, we've got our babies. Our babies come, and our babies are beautiful, and our babies are innocent. Look at them. Aren't they lovely? And then through the course of time, something happened. Some bad parenting. Some bad exposure. Now our kids aren't perfect anymore. We look at ourselves and think, oh, if only my parents had done this, I would be much better. Or if I had been treated this way, oh, I would be so much better. I'm the result of what my parents have done to me. Well, we are the result of parents, all right. We're the result of mankind and being mankind, the sin that we possess and the distortion that is there. You see, this is our second step. You were born in and continue in deep perversion. You were born in and continue in deep perversion. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. This is a mold that you were born in, the form of this world. This is who you are. This is who you have been. You have been a model of Adam who brought all mankind into death. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, and this is Adam, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned in Adam. We are all that picture of unrighteousness and that rebellion against God, and daily we see that this is the reality. People look and oftentimes say, not fair, Adam did it, why do I suffer for it? Because you are a child of Adam and you sin every day continuously, just like Adam. we have on us what is just. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. This word iniquity, it's guilt. I was brought forth in guilt. I was brought forth guilty already. That's the reality of how mankind comes into the world. I heard most of you, if not all of you, already know I am no fan of cats in general. I don't like them. They're snotty and they're obnoxious. They think they own the house. And I don't know how they pull that idea off, that it's their place. Sorry, I could get on a real tangent about this. Well, I was talking to a friend and he doesn't like cats either. And he said, look at that cat. No, we don't like it. If it could, it would kill us. You see how it looks at you? It wants to kill you. It just knows that it can't, so it won't try. That's the nature of that animal. We've seen babies have fits. What if that baby had kung fu and dexterity? That baby would attack us when we won't give it its candy or its bottle or exactly what it wants at that time. If that child could give full expression to us of its hearts, it would kill us. That's why God makes people in the beginning so small and so weak, so they can't. But we grow over time, and this is the true nature. This is the true nature of mankind. It's a wickedness. And most of us here, we have so many layers of politeness that we've been taught that there's a lot that's covered up. But God sees the whole thing. He has his full perspective on you. He knows to what your heart has already been conformed, and he knows what needs to change. And he's calling us here and now to that specific change. The reality is being laid out for us. That we have distorted minds and that we have distorted thought. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. That there's an understanding that we are all lacking. Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth, get it, bring it in, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding that we need all of these things. All of us are in the place where we need trained. All of us are in the place where we need instruction so that our minds will be changed, so that our hearts and affections will be changed, so that our lives will be changed. This brings us to our third step. Guard yourself against imagined adequacy. Guard yourself against imagined adequacy. I knew a man that when you came to him and you asked, how are you doing? He would say, adequate. And I always wanted to say, check again, sir. Adequate, good enough. Guard yourself against the idea, your imagined truth, that you are good enough. We look at ourselves and we compare ourselves to the wicked and we compare ourselves to the worst and we say, I'm good enough. Romans 3:27-30. Where then is boasting? As if we could boast. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law of works? That you do enough, that you're good? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. You're not a Christian because you're good enough. You're a Christian because you've been rescued. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. In Luke 10:25-29, a lawyer stood up and speaking to Jesus. And a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, this is Jesus, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? The question and the desire constantly to justify ourselves, to imagine that we've arrived, that we've come along, that our mind no longer needs altered or changed. James 2:10 gives us this warning. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. And I love visualizing that as that line, that property line. Don't cross the property line. You cross the property line, you're a trespasser, you're guilty. We were all born on the other side of the property line. We were all born trespassers. And when it's easy to look and see people who have done worse things than us and keep doing worse things, and they're running further and further and further away from the property line, so what? You're still a trespasser. So what? You're still guilty. Malachi 3:2. But who can endure the day of His coming? When God comes in His wrath, and we've seen that power again and again, and we've looked at what the presence of God looks like. When we looked at Exodus chapter 19, we just had that in our Bible reading. We just had it in our service. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. Do you think that when He comes, you're going to be able to stand in His presence? Do you think based on your righteousness, your pattern, and what you have done, your thoughts, your activities, do you think you can stand? Do you think you can stand when He comes in fire and He comes in flame? You see, each sin is deadly poison. The Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. It's not just that the wages of sin is death. It's not just that that's what you deserve, but sin is death. Sin is death. Whichever of you have taken that cup and you have drank deeply from it down to the dregs, you know that it's death. You know that it's death. You have felt it. You have felt the effects. You know how dark and wicked and terrible it is. See, each sin is this deadly poison that we drink in willingly. Paul gives us the picture of this grieved Christian heart in sin. Romans 7, 14 and 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. In Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. See this. See this reality. See that this is where we are. In our fourth step, remember that you are still blind. In Ephesians 1:1, Paul, carried along by the Holy Spirit, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So the foundation is laid, who these people are, saints or holy ones in Christ. But then later in Ephesians 1:18, he prays this for the people there. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. What does that tell us is the case there? That although these people are there, they're faithful in Christ Jesus, that their hearts are still blind somehow. Do you know that this is the case for you? That there is a blindness upon you. There's a blindness on your heart. And it shows up different times. And maybe you'll notice it in different times. It shows up when you read the Bible and you say, yeah, I can't really buy that. Or surely not. No, I can't see that. Or no, not for me. Not in my circumstances. This does not apply. A blindness of the heart. In each of our sins, it displays a blindness to our hearts. Each time you transgress the law of God, it shows that you can't see the eternal reality. Therefore, you are conformed to this world and you need your mind transformed. You need change at your basic level. To see reality and to see truth. And Our fifth step ties into that fourth step. Remember that you are still deceived. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. A whole world deceived, a whole world with blind eyes. The world in which you live, the people that you have fellowship, the people that you talk to, and sometimes, or even all the time, even the people that you are fellowshipping with. We're dealing with that reality, and we need the work of the Holy Spirit to transform our minds. To top it off, we have the great enemy within us as well, Jeremiah 17:9. And in the culture that we live in, I urge you to memorize that passage. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. And what are we doing when we sin but feeding that heart exactly what it's asking for? It says, give me this, and we get it. Give me this, and I will be satisfied. Give me that, and I will be satisfied. And we feed it, and feed it, and feed it. And it just falls into an abyss, and we fall darker, and darker, and darker into sin and shadow. And this brings us to our sixth step. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:12, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how does this take place? How is your mind transformed? Well, on the unseen level, it's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. This is something that we must plead for and pray for. This is something that we should be asking others to pray for us in our specific areas. It is a beautiful thing to be in a setting where people actually have an understanding of their need. They don't think that they have arrived. Where they can say, this past week, this overtook me, and I'm scared that it's going to overtake me again this week. Would you pray for me for this and ask me about it next week? When people see their need to change, and they have the desire then to change. Well, we are put together as church family to have interactions with one another, to spur one another on in these love and in good deeds. God places people in our lives for this purpose, for interaction that we would hear them and we would alter our courses. He places elders in our lives that we would be transparent, that we would take counsel, that we would move forward. He places Christian friends in your lives, that you would listen, that you would be transparent, and that you would move forward. There's a warning in Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire, and he quarrels against all sound wisdom. We all long to do that. We all long to separate ourselves where we can go off and justify ourselves. But that is the threat, that we would do so against all sound wisdom. And in that place, the danger is that we continue in our natural patterns, the patterns of this world. In this place, we continue in the natural course, the course of death. In this place, we continue to follow our aimless distractions, listening to anything other than what God would say and how He would change us. In this place, we continue in our worldly pleasures, those things that satisfy us now, the things that make us feel good now, rather than the difficult work that is upon us. I was traveling with an older couple along 79 recently, and there's this huge hill that goes up and overlooks so much, and I had stated that I've always wanted to go there on a picnic. I thought it would be a great place to sit, and then as I reflected on it, I said, then again, it might not be worth it. You climb all the way up there, you'd be huffing and puffing, and you'd be sweating. And my older friend said, well, I guess that'd depend on what you've got in the basket. the things that we face, the things that we go through, the challenges that we face, the hardships, the work of conforming our minds. Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth it? Guess it depends on what you think's in the basket, huh? Is being like Christ worth it? Is it worth the struggle? Will it be worth the hardship? Will it be worth letting go of these things that we have loved? Will it be worth pulling ourselves up that cliff and committing, believing that He's going to accomplish the good work that He has begun in us? You see, God does this work, but here we are told that we show up, that we work to transform our minds. That we be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, throwing off the old man and putting on the new. This is our seventh step. Commit yourself to learning to think truth. Commit yourself to learning to think truth. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Psalm 119, 59 and 60. I considered my ways. I looked. I saw what I have been doing. I considered my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, that is, telling you that you have been wrong, for correction, showing you what's right, and for training you in righteousness. And this brings us to our eighth step. Demonstrate what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And this is that is the end of Romans 12:2. You see, our lives are to be those lives that show people what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. As God does this work on you, as God does this work in you. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 and flowing into 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Adequate. That it will actually happen. Adequate, equipped for every good work. Proverbs 5:13. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to instructors. I've been in this place where I haven't listened. I haven't done what you have told me to do. And that brings us to that place of death. If you haven't been there and you continue in that sin, you will. Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Proverbs 1, 4, and 5. To give prudence to the knave, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel and not ignore it then, but take it and live it. And again, that warning from Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Now we look at the challenge. You look at what you're being called to, what you're being told, and I hope now you'll take a moment and you consider what this means specifically for you as an individual. To hear wisdom, to take counsel, not to be conformed any longer to the patterns and the sins of this world, but to have your mind transformed, to go ahead and believe and think what God thinks. The circumstances of your life that you have justified, the circumstances of your life where you have said, the word here doesn't apply to me here because. This is not the case. This is not reality. I was sitting at a dinner recently and a four-year-old looked out into the icy dark in the midst of the snow and he said, I see lightning bugs. And his grandfather looked at him and said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I see lightning bugs. And the grandfather said, buddy, it's too cold for lightning bugs. And he said, no, I see them. And the boy's mother lovingly said to him, honey, you must have seen some reflection on the glass. There are no lightning bugs. And he said, no, there are. And I had had enough. I turned to him and I said, do you realize that every adult in the room knows that you're wrong? And the four-year-old looked at me and he looked at his mom and said, really? She said, yes. And he looked around the table doing a survey, and every adult in the room nodded. And he said, oh, these areas of sin in our lives, we have a greater testimony than every adult in the room sitting and looking at us, though sometimes every adult in the room sitting and looking at us knows too that your mind needs changed. You have been conformed to this world, son of Adam, daughter of the Eve. But now you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This work that God will do when you'll commit. When you'll commit. When you'll finally say let go and I'll let go. When you say march, I'll march. Where you say fight, I'll fight. Where you say give up, I'll give up. This is the place that Christ is calling you to now. This place where we give ourselves to Him. And so often we say, easier said than done. But Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. For consider Him, that is Christ. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. For you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. But we come along Christ, and this is where we join up with Him in this battle and in this fight and in this struggle. Give yourselves to it. Pray with me. Our Lord, help us as we look at a fearful and dreadful cliff where you have said, climb. Give us the courage in the heart to see and to know and to believe and to let go of our sin and our crime, the old man that we have loved and we have adored. God, and cause us to be renewed, to think rightly, and to be conformed in Christ Jesus, that you will be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm